Good afternoon, Brad.
How's it going?
Why is there such a fascination with naming stars for commemoration, and what makes them so popular?
I think it's one of these things where, you know, people are, no matter where you are, you look up, you see the stars, there's still a bit of mystique and elegance and serenity to looking at the night sky. And it seems the way that everyone knows that, you know, the stars will keep going on and, you know, they'll live beyond the lifespan of us and potentially even the Earth. And so it feels like it's a fitting way to kind of connect those two. And so people are naturally drawn to wanting to try and memorize people through that means, through the stars, because it outlives them.
And is the star naming service that companies offer legitimate?
So no, and this is the problem, is that there is no way to buy a star name. The only group that officiates star names is International Astronomical Union, and you can't buy it from them. So all these companies and all these groups that you see saying go out and buy a star name, purchase the name of someone, it's not officially recognized. So it's not that it's not meaningless, and in fact, you know, the people who go out and do this for someone, the intentions are true and correct. But it's not officially recognized. Your name is not actually attached to that star, and it won't be recognized beyond just that group you've purchased with.
What is the official way of naming objects in space?
So yes, the IAU governs all of the naming of stars. And the first thing that they do is that anything that is a star that you can see with your eyes has some sort of historical name, so Sirius, Betelgeuse, and in fact, there was 86 new names assigned to the bright stars you can see with your eyes. All the other stars have these long catalog telephone numbers. And it's not just because we're boring people. It's because that the numbers are their space latitude and longitude, they're their position in the sky. So they're easy to look up. They're easy for us to figure out, hey, that's where that star is. This is what's going on, and go from there. Asteroids, if you discover an asteroid, you get to name it. So if you do discover an asteroid, you can name it whatever you want, except after yourself.
And can you tell us a little bit about the other roles of the International Astronomical Union?
So they are, you know, the official body of governing rules and designations. You know, they're pretty famous in 2006. So they were the group that said that Pluto is no longer a planet, that Pluto's a dwarf planet. So maybe it's not the most popular group with the general public, but it's the official body that all astronomers are a part of and that participate in and set the rules on, just as there's other various scientific disciplines and organizations that have an international agreement that works at a UN or international level that set the rules. So they say what an object is, what an object means, and it's from the input of astronomers in that. So if astronomers, if we really push to try and change the laws, maybe we could change it such that star naming was possible, or something like getting the possibility of asteroid naming to the general public, because that is allowed. I'd like to see that happen, but ultimately, as it stands now, when you want to go and buy that star, it's not necessarily what you think you're getting. And there's no reason another company can't go out and sell that same star.
It does sound a little bit crazy as well. People are getting away with thinking that it's actually named after them. So how do the authorities determine how to name the stars?
So, I mean, with individual groups that sell them, you know, it's just kind of everyone goes out and purchases it and then they write it in the book and that's that. From the official standpoint, we have this catalog system, and the catalog system has a detailed formation that, based on their position and the group that discovers it, they tell you, they say, this is the position of the star, this is the star name. And it just does sound really boring. When, you know, a good example is if you go out and discover, as I said, a new asteroid or even a new planet around another star, you get the right from the IAU to name that planet or star. So there is a bit of maybe misconnection between the two different systems. But the overarching principle has been, because the stars are for everyone, you know, everyone should be able to see it. They don't belong to one person. And that is the driving principle that, you know, someone can say, that's my star, you know, don't look at it, right? And trying to make it as open and accessible for everyone as possible.
Yeah, definitely. If we think about this and say we can't necessarily own a star, how can we use the stars to remember loved ones?
And I think it, and this is where I think it becomes, some people understand it's ceremonial, some people understand that it's symbolic of that, and that, you know, this does represent the person. But, you know, because there is no way to buy a star name, you can actually go out and say, you know, we are going to remember that patch of stars, you know, for this person or for our family. Or, you know, if you go out and have looked at the skies with someone, you can, you know, like some couples have a song, you can have your own star. You don't own that song, someone else does. You don't own that star, someone else, or no one owns it. But you can still, it still means something to you, and it means just as much, and if not more, than if you're to go out to a company that just essentially gives you a certificate saying that. You can print up your own certificate, in fact, and save money.
Yeah, definitely. Especially if it's turning out that they're not actually that legitimate.
No, that's right. And again, if you know what you're getting and happy with it, you know, all of the power to you, I have no problem with that. But I think a lot of people think it's official, and there are so many groups selling them. I mean, one group alone has claimed to have sold 2 million stars. And, you know, when you think about it, if their average package is $50 to $100, it's not a small amount of money that people are literally overall paying for this service when they're not getting anything in return. Now, you might be comfortable with that and the what you meaning, the meaning of buying that star is true, and that doesn't change the fact that someone cared for you or cared for that person and wanted to memorialize someone. But there's lots of ways of remembering someone, so it doesn't have to be buying a star. There's much more probably legitimate and long-lasting ways, or more meaningful ways.
Yeah, definitely. I think it is important that people do understand what they're actually purchasing, though. But thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Anytime.